Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The state chapter of the National Federation of Independent Business says that small businesses want state lawmakers to reform the worker compensation law and that the current system is discouraging many business owners from hiring. To talk about that issue, I'm joined by the state director of the NFIB, Charlie Owens. Welcome to the program, Charlie.
Good evening, Michael.
Now, you've said that the current system encourages phony claims, phony lawsuits, and artificially high insurance rates. How exactly do our state laws do that?
Well, workers' compensation, basically, if you boil it down, is a payroll tax. It's a cost of employment and hiring. For the most part, businesses in Michigan are required to carry this coverage. Most of them provide that coverage by buying workers' compensation insurance. And, of course, the cost for that insurance directly reflects the claims experience or the money that's paid out to employees, which is fine. That's the way the system was designed. However, when you have a situation where folks are collecting benefits for injuries that weren't sustained in the workplace, when you have folks that are attempting to collect benefits claiming total disability, when, in fact, that may not be the case, then that robs the system of money. It raises the rates, and that's that directly impacts the cost of hiring workers. And, of course, the more we make it expensive to hire workers, the less jobs we're going to create.
Are there no systems in place to find fraud in these worker compensation claims and to stop that?
Well, actually, there are, and I think that's part of the misunderstanding about what we're trying to do here. The system has actually been working fairly well in the latter decade because of a conservative Supreme Court that has tried to bring case law back around to the original intent of the legislature. And what we're seeking to do is to codify that so that we're not at the whim of, you know, whatever Supreme Court might later on decide to try and take it back the other day. Mm-hmm. You know, the yin and the yang of this is we have attorneys with the trial bar who are actively trying to erode a lot of the legislative intent in this area with the goal of increasing benefits to claimants that shouldn't be collecting them. And what we're trying to do is just codify the status quo so that we can keep the system, keep the integrity in the system, so it does what it's supposed to do.
So what kind of steps need to be taken when it comes to small businesses feeling more protected from, I guess, worker compensation fraud?
Well, part of it is some of it's fraud and some of it's just the fact that we have a 100-year-old law that needs to reflect current medical technology and development. And I think an example is if you think about 100 years ago, they didn't contemplate knee replacements. They didn't contemplate a lot of the therapies that we have. So what might constitute a total disability in the past does not necessarily apply at the present time, but the law doesn't allow, in many cases, the courts to apply this new technology in determining what is a disability and what isn't. So that's not really fraud. That's just a case of updating the law. In the case of fraud, what has happened in the past when we haven't had the clarity in the law is it has been tempting for a lot of folks as they near retirement age and are going to retire from the workforce to file workers' compensation claims in the latter part of their career, knowing that they could also collect a pension, they could collect workers' compensation. And this was actively encouraged in many cases. I'm going back into the 60s. This was actively encouraged by the trial bar and others. And we've tried to address those situations. I think that we did, but then we had some bad court decisions. Now we're back with some good court decisions, and we're just trying to codify that.
Now, I'm talking to the state director of the National Federation of Independent Business, Charlie Owens. The part of the bill that's being put out there to reform the law, it says that any ordinary disease of life to which the public is generally exposed to outside of work would not be compensable. What kinds of reasons is compensation given then, other than physical injury, that would interfere with work?
Well, it would be compensable to the extent that the workplace aggravated the condition or the injury. What we have is a situation, and I think you can imagine that this is sometimes difficult to determine, but you have folks that are in an age where they're beginning to get arthritis and they're beginning to get conditions that are due to age, not necessarily due to occupation. And sometimes it's difficult to draw the line and say, okay, well, how much of this injury is the result of this particular activity on the job, and how much of this injury was brought to the job simply because of condition of life, or in some cases, we have folks that have pursuits outside the workplace that cause injury. And trying to sort that out sometimes is difficult. But what we're trying to do is say this, look, you know, if you're an office worker, but you spend the weekends working with power tools to the point where you develop a condition such as carpal tunnel syndrome, that's not something that the employer should have to pay for. And now, to the extent that that might be aggravated, or you had a prior injury in a different occupation, you know, then that could be compensable based on how much of that occurred in the workplace. But it's difficult, but employers should not be responsible for injuries that are not job-related, is the bottom line.
How in the world, though, these are such complicated things we're talking about with so many factors, how in the world will any law be able to really give a clear distinction? Wouldn't it ultimately be a judgment call one way or the other?
Well, it is, and I mean, it's a process. There's a process in place now to determine these things with regard to whether it's total disability, partial disability, and these things. So the bill sets up a process for that. Certainly, there's going to be some litigation to clarify that, and we understand that. But we also want to keep the integrity of the processes where we do have case law that has been successful in trying to determine these things.
Has there been a dramatic increase in worker compensation claims in Michigan in recent years?
I wouldn't say claims necessarily, but there has been a concerning increase in the cost of the claims. And I know that this was a subject of dispute at the hearing because the folks that do not support this bill brought out all this information and said, well, you know, workers' comp rates have been going down and the prices are going lower, and why do we need this? And the challenge with that data that they present is if you look at the time frame of the data, they're basically picking a period of time where we have finally begun to steer the adjudication of these cases back to the legislative intent because of a conservative Supreme Court. So, yes, those rates are coming down because they were too high to begin with, because we had another situation where the courts were not respecting legislative intent. Now we're bringing that back, and we want to codify that so that that good experience will continue. If we don't, we'll slide right back into a situation where the trial bar will finally find a sympathetic court, and we'll be right back into the soup with definitions of disability and injury that are not appropriate, and employer costs will rise as a consequence.
I mean, are Michigan's compensation laws, worker compensation laws, anyway dramatically more generous than other states in the country?
I wouldn't say that they're dramatically more generous. I think that we're kind of the middle of the pack. I know that We always like to bring up Indiana as an example, and their compensation costs are much less, but to be fair, their benefit payouts are also much less.
I see. So in terms of it certainly looks like the bills being considered are going to go through. Do they, the bills that are now in at the Capitol being considered, do those have all these structural changes that small businesses are essentially looking for?
Yes, we believe that they do.
I see. And well, from what I'm seeing, it doesn't seem very likely that they won't be passed and won't go through. Will it mean then, though, that some workers who have been getting benefits won't be eligible moving forward?
Well, what it'll mean is that when we get into what's considered a total disability, you know, for example, if you go back to the extreme where we began the problem, a very liberal court determined that, well, if you can't do the exact job that you had before you were injured, you're totally disabled for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not an appropriate definition, I think, even by a common sense standard. And we've brought that over to, okay, well, maybe you can't do that exact job, but based on your training and based on the education that you have, maybe you can do this job. And instead, and frankly, if that means that you will make less, workers' compensation will make up that difference. So let's say someone is disabled. They can't do the exact same job that they had before. They can do a different job. Maybe it doesn't pay as much. The, mm-hmm. the law provides that the difference between the pay scales will be compensable. So that's kind of what we want, is a common sense approach. I think it's important to know that employers want their employees to come back to work after an injury,
mm-hmm.
whether that's a serious disability. I mean, any way we can accommodate them, that's what we want to do. The other side has kind of made the accusation that we don't want to do that. That's not true. Frankly,
right.
if you look at the Americans with Disabilities Act, it's against the law to do otherwise.
Charlie, unfortunately, we're out of time. Charlie Owens, the state director of the National Federation of Independent Business, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Michael.
We'll be right